Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Well, welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. As I always like to start off, hope you've had a good day. If it's Thursday, and wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. And of course, if you're listening to a recording on my webpage, Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez, well, I don't know when you're listening to it. Then there's a podcast that you can also access. You now have a lot of flexibility to listen to me if you missed a particular program, or you were on the car a given moment and you had to get out and you missed half of it, you can catch up. So it was improving in all of these facets to get the full program to you. And then you can give me a call, text me at 939-333-1010. With any suggestions, any constructive criticism, feedback that you may have. Thanks for listening to me. And, makes the effort worthwhile as I run into people continuously and sometimes really, really unexpected. That just from my voice, they say, "You sound familiar," and this and that. And then finally, they take it that it's my voice from the radio program. So, thank you for listening. Last week, recording it on Wednesday, it was Holy Week, and that evening there was going to be a presentation, a talk by our President Trump on the situation in Iran, and I had mentioned that it was going to be difficult because in the same day, in the morning, he's going to obliterate and completely destroy Iran, and then in the afternoon we'll say that the Strait of Hormuz is not important. Somebody else will have to deal with it. And that's the way it was, the talk. It went from both, we going to have obliterated him and completely destroyed in all respects the country, and yet our news is not important, that it somebody else is going to have to take care of it, that it will happen naturally. And that's what his speech was about. Next day, 48 hours is given for them to open up the Strait of Hormuz, that this is, critical for everything. So it's tough. It's tough to follow. It's tough to not get frustrated. I keep on hoping that there's some logic to the madness and to the chaos, and something will happen. Of course, there's now a ceasefire, for a couple of weeks in order to move on negotiations, kinds of things that have been happening on and off. And as I said in the last program and went off on that with respect to things that are happening in Puerto Rico, if you walk away from agreements and then while you're having negotiations, you proceed to bomb, you lose credibility, and it's harder each time to negotiate and to rely on the other party. So it's a tough world. And then one of the latest things on Iran was a resolution at the United Nations promoted by the U.S. That the Strait of Hormuz should be open, and it was vetoed by Russia and China. There was abstentions by Colombia and Pakistan. Pakistan is kind of a neutral, trying to bring the two parties together. So I can understand their abstention. Not sure Colombia, but the fear that I had expressed, Russia and China getting more involved, and in North Korea is another player that I'm concerned with to get more involved. Well, you can see it straight off in this veto of that particular resolution and the criticism of the U.S. With respect to what's happening with Iran. And as we know, Iran is allowing certain vessels to go through the Straits of Hormuz and charging a toll. So I'm talking about a couple of million. And it's in yuan, you know, the Chinese currency. Because one of the things that has been mentioned to me and that I've read is that this thing really is all about the oil and the dollar, keeping the dollar as the principal currency for the world. They call the petrodollars. And so, you know, you see this, the yuan for the Strait of Hormuz, and that's, you know, what wasn't a problem. The straits were open, now is an issue. And we'll see where that goes in the next 2 weeks. You know, each side is, of course, saying that they've are winning and victorious, which you obviously know that's going to happen no matter what happens. And all. I reflected a few weeks before on the whole Iran thing, and gave my, you know, my view of Iran based on a trip that my wife and I had, and I urge you to go back to that recording. I was listening in the podcast. So thanks to my son Jorge Luis, has been putting the podcast together. Listening to it, it came up after a podcast on the Happening Lab, which I'm going to end the program on, dealing with forgiveness. Within that, the concern, with respect to the trips that I made to Vietnam, that we made to Vietnam and to Iran, one thing that I didn't mention, and I haven't mentioned, and that really struck me in Vietnam, is that they were forgiving. That they had what was the statement? They to the effect that let bygones be bygones. That was the statement that they had in English. They really had it down. Let bygones be bygones, and they were really put that back. You know, with all the deaths that they had. And, you know, of course, the U.S. suffered 58,000 military service persons were killed, and it was in the millions, you know, that suffered. And forget about all the injuries and all. So that was clearly in Vietnam, and it really struck me. But in Iran, you don't have that feeling. There's this resentment. And it goes way back to the 70s, and you know, both sides, the hostages held by Iran, created a great resentment, and the U.S. will never forgive, I guess. And then, of course, the U.S. overthrew a democratic government, put the Shah back in. So you know, it goes back, and you have the sense that there is this resentment, there is this reluctance to forgive, and it is, I think, a difference between Vietnam and Iran. And one of the things that great concern to me is that victory when you have persons with great resentment and desire for revenge is a hollow victory, and it has shown to be so with world wars taking place because of that. And that's a concern I have. I sure hope I'm wrong. I hope that there's a peace that can be done with both sides really, as they say, burying the hatchet and not going forward with resentment and desire to look for future revenge, but it gets tougher as as things develop throughout the Middle East. Fingers crossed. When I was talking about not breaking contracts and what that has to do consequences of it, I brought up the case of Luma and Puerto Rico deciding to declare null and void its contract with Luma and bring those to the judicial courts. And my concern, that we lose credibility when we then declare the contracts that were negotiated to have been null and void. And then kind of, as I said there, the same time that we want the contract to be null and void, yet we wanted to then continue the transition over a two-year period after the contract is eliminated. So it's kind of, can you have it both ways? But in terms of development that has recently taken place in Luma, and which is interesting in terms of the judicial action taking place and what can go forward, the new CEO, Janice Quiñones, who ran a number of major utilities, and the last job was in California with the water system, a hugely complex system, infrastructure. She's come to head Luma, and from the very beginning said that she wanted to sit down and collaborate and resolve the problems, and sort of saying that these judicial actions that were brought by Puerto Rico, well, have them continue, but we got to sort of go forward and resolve the problems with our electrical system. And had some a meeting with the governor and with the czar, the energy czar, and apparently the meetings have gone well. Both the governor and the czar sort of say we have to resolve the ongoing issues as these things are taking place. She has the advantage, of course, of being Puerto Rican, being a woman, as those who have heard me over the last 4.5 years now know how much I respect the role of women. They're certainly not the weaker sex, or the stronger sex, and the more emotional intelligence. And this particular person, Janice, comes across very, 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 very well. The past president, who personally could be a very nice person, simpático, and all, but the way he spoke, communicated, and just his expression just didn't come across as simpático, and in that regard, I remember my wife's grandmother had an expression, una cara que da coraje, a face that makes you angry. There's some people just their face, their expression, it's not conducive to you feeling comfortable, and at least in the first instance. Maybe after getting to know them and all, deep down there's great things. But that's what happened with the prior head, and I think Janice is in that regard a real asset with respect to her communication skills and the way she carries herself and the strategy that she has undertaken. And so let's see. There was a couple of really great articles, in the Nuevo Día. I like the one by Anabel Kohlberg, and she makes the position. First of all, she mentions being a woman and all, but I think among the things that are in her favor, whether she says this, whether the government has fiscalized better and things have improved because of that, whether there has been in fact a better reconstruction of the electrical system because of the desire by LUMA. But in the, just kind of this perception that things, there hasn't been as many interruptions in the electrical system. She doesn't mention, I think, one of the most important is that there's been an incredible improvement in the generation of electricity. And that the temperatures have been low, so the demand is less, and there's less population in Puerto Rico, less industrial, more renewable energy to remove the demands on our system, more companies with their own generation and cogeneration, a whole bunch of things take place that have been happening that improve the situation. So there is less tension, on the part of the government with respect to LUMA. And then, as she says, the people now are, there's so many other things, so much chaos in so many areas internationally and in Puerto Rico that LUMA now is coming under more and more under the attention of the population and of the government. So she comes in, and let's hope things do improve. It's for the good of everyone. And I, for one, find it positive, this move to have Janice join in and what she's doing. So let's pull for her and all. I'm not going to have time to go in, but going on this issue of my own position with respect to women, there are a couple of really good articles by Sonia Yvette Vélez Colón. She's one of my favorites in terms of the articles that she puts in the Nuevo Día, and the one that I want to came out in Holy Week, the 4th of April. Al pie de la cruz ellas permanecen, at the foot of the cross they remain. And there was another article that she came out with the 29th of March, and un coro de armonía, a chorus of harmony. And I want to go into both of those because I think they're relevant to this the whole situation of the role of women and how that particular role is important and what is happening in Puerto Rico. So I've run out of time in this first segment. This is Jorge Gonzalez, your host in Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.